America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, actually, it's not Pastor Jeff. It's Bishop E.W. Jackson, but I am happy, I'm honored to be sitting in for my good friend, Pastor Jeff Shreve, here on Real Truth for Today. Got a great program planned for you, and I hope he's resting, relaxing, doing whatever he needs to do, but I am glad to stand in for him anytime. I've been a guest many times on Pastor Jeff's program. I always enjoy my discussions with him. Today I'm flying solo, so pray for me. And thank all of you for your support and your prayers for Pastor Jeff, for American Family Radio, for all of our hosts and our staff, for the Wildmans, for their leadership, for Brother Don, who you just heard a little spot about. Brother Don was the visionary, the pioneer who got this whole process started. So be praying for all of us continually. And thank you all for your gifts, for your contributions, for all that you do in order to move this ministry forward. I just got a letter yesterday from American Family Radio. And actually, this was American Family Action. And asking, it took a little poll and then asked about the work that they are doing and, you know, whether that work was worthy of supporting. And I said, it absolutely is. My wife and I sent a check. So, you know, I've said before, folks, I'm going to always support American Family Association, American Family Radio, because they are doing work, frankly, that, in my view, no other media is doing. And, you know, I'm in the media world a lot. And I can tell you all that even what we consider to be conservative outlets won't do what American Family Radio and American Family Association does. Frankly, I dare say even some associated with Christianity won't quite do what we do. So it is my honor to be a part of this great enterprise. Well, look, for those of you who can see me, I know that all of you can't, but for those of you who can, I'm wearing a patriotic shirt. It's got a beautiful red, white, and blue emblem from about mid-chest up to the shoulders, and I think it looks pretty good. I am still basking in the glory, the joy of celebrating the 250th anniversary of my beloved country, and grateful to God every day of my life that I was born an American. I have to say, let me just get this out of the way, because, you know, folks, there are those naysayers out there, and those people, I don't care what you do for them, they'll just never be satisfied. See, they're like that old story of a guy walking around with a loaf of bread under each arm crying about how hungry he is. You know, it's like, these people, they have the best, they enjoy the best, they live in the greatest country, they have privileges that people around the world can only dream of, and they're busy carping and complaining and griping, and they don't realize they're cutting their own throats. They're cutting their own throats, because what they should be doing is expressing gratitude to God and to our founding fathers, to the veterans, to everybody who has contributed to making real the liberty that is the promise of our founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence, and secured by the Constitution. It is made real by the people who put their hands to the plow every day and go after it, whether they're in uniform serving us in harm's way, or whether they're running for office because, as Ronald Reagan said, not to be somebody but to actually do something, or they're serving in their communities to try to help make life better for people around them. All those people help make America great. And while all of that is recognized even by the folks who came over here for the World Cup, and had heard all these negative things about America. I said, hey, man, this place is great. You know, I got a real kick out of that. You know, they said, man, we've heard all these terrible things about America. This place is great. We love it. You know, it's like, you know, and I guess all these griping media types, both here and abroad, probably, you know, growling. You know, well, they don't really know the America we know. No, they know precisely the America you don't know. They know the real America, an America that no, it's not. We're not perfect, of course, but America made up of wonderful values, an America with decent people of goodwill all over this country. An America that critiques itself and we're always trying to improve. That's why we became the greatest nation on earth. We didn't become the greatest nation on earth because we sit back and say, oh, it's good enough. No, we became the greatest nation on earth because we were always looking for ways to improve, both in business and delivery of services, and also in trying to bring fairness and the recognition of human dignity to all of our people. We've constantly tried to work to do that better. But, you know, we don't get any credit for that because, you know, we're the United States of America and you know, some of these naysayers, sadly, of some of our own citizens, they just choose not to get it. And I have two reactions. One, I'm sad for them because, my goodness gracious, I wake up every morning grateful to God that I don't have to figure out how I'm going to eke out a meal for the day. I don't have to figure out where I'm going to get clean water. I don't have to figure out how I'm going to try to get out of the heat. I wake up every day with plenty of food, air conditioning, clothes to wear, an orderly society, as opposed to waking up somewhere where you just don't know. You might even say the wrong thing and get yourself arrested or even killed simply for speaking something that you're not allowed to say. I don't have any of those concerns. I remember this politician. I got to find out who it was who said that so I can identify him, because he needs to be identified, who said, I wake up, some black member of the Black Caucus, I wake up every morning, wonder if I'm going to speak, if I'm going to be stopped while driving black. You know, it's like, I'm laughing, folks, because it's just so stupid. You know, it really, it's asinine. It's insane. I've never awakened a morning of my life thinking, oh, I might be stopped while driving black. I mean, it's preposterous. Now, I'll tell you what. Now, I have to be honest. I have awakened saying, let me slow down so I don't get stopped today while speeding. But it has nothing to do with the color of my skin. It has to do with the heaviness of my foot. Now, you all pray for me, okay? Don't judge me. Pray for me. And all my friends in law enforcement, if I'm somewhere and you ever stop me, just know I love you anyway. Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, this is a little aside, but my wife and I, she didn't have anything to do with it. But I got stopped coming back from Colorado because, you know, I've been gone for 5 days and, you know, got the airport, got my car, we go home. I want to relax a little bit. So I was driving. I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. I mean, you're not going to catch me driving 100 miles an hour down the highway or something. But, you know, I'm kind of figuring that the speed limit isn't really realistic most of the time. So, okay, well, enough of the justification. So anyway, I got pulled over. So, you know, the officers were very nice. They were very nice. You know, you were doing X in an X zone. And, you know, I was on the highway, you know. The speed limit is 55, 60. I mean, who does 55 or 60? But that's another matter. And, you know, they went through their thing and, you know, told me, you know, what I had to do from there. And I said, okay, officers. So I have these prayer cards. Oh, I should have one with me. I'll read it to you. You probably heard me talk about it. But these police prayer cards, and I gave each of them a prayer card. And it's a prayer card that basically talks about how much we honor these police officers who put their lives on the line every day. I mean, they looked at me as if to say, well, man, boy, this is unusual. You know, we stopped this guy to give him a ticket, and he's giving us prayer cards and telling us how much he appreciates us. We're praying for it. Stop while driving black. Give me a break. But, you know, again, folks, I am really losing my patience with all that. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, then go back to, go wherever you want to go. I mean, go back doesn't really make a lot of sense. You've been away from black folks whose ancestors came to this country, been away from Africa for 200 or 300 years. I mean, go back. But look, if you really believe that that's where you belong, have at it. Or like Rosie O'Donnell, go back to Ireland, or go back to Italy, or go back. I mean, if you're that unhappy, just Robert De Niro, yeah, go back to, I don't know where he's from. Is he from Sicily or? But go back and live there and enjoy yourself. Be happy, man. Rather than trying to make the rest of us unhappy because we're grateful to God for this wonderful country we live in. Well, look, so I'm still basking in it. By the way, you know, I'm doing the Truth Tour, Facts About American History You Were Never Taught. And I've given about 5 speeches, sermons, speeches. Well, you know me, if I start speaking, it ends up being a sermon. But and it is, of course, rooted and grounded in biblical worldview. But I've done 5 of those. In fact, I'm due, I think I told you all this, I'm due in Mississippi on July 26th. July 26th, I'll be in Vicksburg, Mississippi on the Truth Tour. I'll be speaking at Emmanuel Baptist Church. That is at 6949 U.S. 61, Vicksburg, Mississippi, and I will be there. So, I believe I hope I don't have this wrong, folks. I'm looking at my notes. I believe the pastor is Dale Yoakum, but I'll be with Dale Yoakum and the Emmanuel Baptist Church family in Vicksburg, Mississippi, on July 26th for a Truth Tour message. So come on out if you're in the area and join with us. I'd love to see you. Always glad to see my AFR friends. In fact, I gave the, where did I go? I can't remember where it was. Oh, you know what? I don't remember where. But somebody said, you know, we heard you announce that you would be here. And, you know, their AFR listeners said, so we drove up to meet you. And they had driven about a couple of hours to get there. So I'm really gratified by that and always glad to meet folks and from the AFR family, because I know you all love the Lord, love this country, and you have a lot of respect for those of us who are kind of on the front line doing what we do. Appreciated by you all and hated by others, but that's okay. Jesus said that's what happened to him. He said, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. Well, then I'm in good company, Lord. If the world hated you, and now because of you it hates me, I'll take that all day long. Praise God. And the blessing that comes with it, because he said, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Okay, so that's the Truth Tour. If you want to get me to come to your community, your church, your corporation, your business, whatever it is, contact us at truthtour@standinc.net. That's truthtour@standinc.net. You can call our office 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. Okay, we've got some other things happening in the news. My heart is really, really set, and I'm praying that we will have a major breakthrough in the upcoming November elections, because we really need a legislature, a Congress, a Senate that is going to continue to support President Trump's agenda. We don't need one that is going to obstruct his agenda. And usually the sitting president loses the House and or the Senate in the congressional elections during his term, midterm elections, as they're referred to. And we can't have that happen. We simply cannot have that happen. But I'll tell you, there are some signs that the American people, if they're paying attention, are going to realize you can't give these people power. Graham Plattner is a perfect example of that. This guy has been supported by all the big wigs of the Democrat Party. They've ignored his Nazi tattoo while calling us Nazis. They ignored the alleged attacks on women while claiming President Trump has done that. Well, he may now be about to drop out of the race. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Pastor Jeff Shreve here on Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm glad to be here with you. And I'm still basking in the 250th. I'm going to be doing this all year through the Truth Tour and other things that we're going to be doing, and I trust you are too. I want to give you a thought that I had. I really believe this is from the Lord too, and I hadn't thought about this before. Have you considered the fact that of all the people who could have been president at this historic moment, God chose Donald Trump? I mean, think about that. He was born at just the right time, became president at just the right time, that he would be president to witness and to lead us in cheering for our country on our 250th. I think this is one of the things that the left has them just apoplectic, because they don't understand the spiritual dimension of our country at all. In fact, they reject it, frankly. But you and I know when the founding fathers said that this is a providential nation, and they saw the hand of providence working to bring this nation into being, we know what they meant in the language of their day. What they meant was that America is part of the plan of God. That's what they meant. That America was ordained by God. In fact, you know, they use the language in the preamble, we do ordain this Constitution. That's a sacred word. They didn't say we establish. They didn't say we inaugurate. They didn't say we implement. They said we ordain. Because they understood that there was something sacred about what they were doing and that the hand of God was involved in it. And the world will probably never accept this, but I really believe that God chose Donald Trump for such a time as this. Again, we know he's not a perfect man, but neither am I, neither are you. So when we start pointing the fingers at his imperfections, you know, remember there are three fingers pointing back at each of us as well. But I still believe, just like God used David, who was far from perfect, but a man after God's own heart, I believe that God chose Donald Trump, a man whose heart would really be set on doing what is best for the United States of America, that is his priority, that is his concern, and he's not making any apologies for that, and he's not mincing words about that. And I think that is precisely what America needed. Remember, we went through 8 years of an apology tour with Barack Obama. How bad America is and how much America has done wrong, and you know, don't criticize Islam. Islam has really helped make America great, and don't criticize Muslims because don't forget the Crusades. I mean, we heard all that kind of nonsense coming from Barack Obama. And then with Joe Biden, it was really pretty much more of the same, because he basically engineered a massive alien invasion into this country. And there's no other way of saying it. That's exactly what he did. He engineered a massive alien invasion into this country. Because these people share one thing in common. They don't like America as it is, and they want to change it. And they don't believe they can convince most of the American people to go along with them, although they're trying very hard by indoctrinating people at a young age. But they still doubt that they can get the American people to go along with them. So what they're doing is they're bringing in new people. New people who will be beholden to them because they enslave them with dependence. You know, they give them phones, they give them hotel rooms, they give them money to start businesses. They just basically, you know, they give them scholarship money. They call them dreamers. I mean, they just go out of their way to reward these people. Have you seen some of these families whose children have fallen victim to some illegal alien weeping and asking, why don't you care about us? Because they don't believe that the us is a pathway to power. They believe that we are going to reject the direction in which they're leading this country, which is a Marxist collectivist direction, a tribalist direction, where basically you slice and dice America up into a bunch of warring tribes, and then you manipulate those tribes in order to get the majority that you need. And then when you get the majority, you basically ignore the Constitution and do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's the formula, folks. That's it in a nutshell. And that's what the illegal aliens are all about. That's what the pandering to black people is all about. That's what the pandering, you know, you saw Barack Obama stand up and was it Susan Rice or was it Valerie, one of his little minions, stand up and apologize to the Native Americans that they were on their land, but they're not giving the land back. I mean, this is all just pandering to say, look, we are your benefactors, and we will do whatever we need to do in order to keep you in our stable. It's that plain and simple. You vote for us, keep us in power, and we will ignore anything you do that's wrong, and we will reward you for simply being our wards. Yeah, that's what it boils down to. I say, you know, people say, yeah, they're buying votes. No, they're buying people. They're buying people, not just votes. We want you to protest when we need you to protest. We want you to riot when we need you to riot. We want you to vote when we need you to vote. And we want you to be a part of the denunciation of this country and everything it represents. If you will do all of that for us, we will definitely reward you. I mean, you can be a meth addict and a counterfeiter and a fentanyl addict, and we will erect statues in your honor, as long as you can be used to further our agenda. Yeah, I'm talking about George Floyd, of course. No, not commenting on me, how George Floyd died. You know, look, I am of the opinion that this officer should never put his foot on George Floyd's neck. That was simply not an appropriate thing to do. And whatever the consequences were, he's now paying for it. But that doesn't make George Floyd some kind of hero, some kind of icon. That interaction with the police was the result of George Floyd engaging in lawless behavior. Had he not been doing that, there would have never been that interaction. So I'm not saying it's his fault that he's dead, but I think he certainly contributed to the process, didn't he? We have a thing in the law called contributory negligence, where maybe somebody else caused you to have an accident, but you did some things that you shouldn't have done that helped contribute to it, and you are then partially responsible for yourself. In other words, the full responsibility lies not only with the person who you are accusing of having committed negligence, but with the person who is victimized by it, because there's some things that person should have done to have avoided, that could obviously have been done, responsibly done, to avoid the potential accident or problem that occurred. So, but these negative people, these people who hate our country, they will not they will leave no stone unturned to find a reason to do so. Sonny Hostin on The View, which I don't watch, by the way, but, you know, you get these clips of stuff that's dumb stuff that she said. And, you know, boy, this leftist ideology really does just make you go stupid. But, you know, she's talking about the flag makes her fearful when she goes into a community and she sees a bunch of flags. It makes her fearful because the flag has been appropriated for white supremacy. You know, I'm not laughing because that in and of itself is funny. I'm laughing because these people are so stupid. I mean, that flag has been around for as long as this country has existed. And you're going to be stupid enough to not respect the flag because you think there are some people who have appropriated the flag for their own racist intentions. And making assumptions about that, because I go into a community where there's a lot of flags. I mean, you don't want to acknowledge that maybe people are flying that flag because they've got a loved one who serves in the armed forces and fights under that flag, or certainly potentially fights under that flag, or because they grew up with nothing and now they're doing well and they realize it's the freedom and opportunity and prosperity of this country that's made that possible, and they want to honor this country for that. Or like me, born into a broken home, raised up in foster care, and enjoying the very best that life has to offer because, in large measure, because I'm an American, of course, in part because I've made up my mind at a fairly young age that I was going to take advantage of the opportunities this country provided for me rather than moan and groan and whine about, oh, how bad America is and how racist America is and all this nonsense. I'll tell you what, been pretty good to me. I mean, and look, and I'm not saying there aren't people out there with bad ideas about other people based on their skin color, their ethnicity, whatever. You know, by the way, this is an aside, but I deal with this in the Truth Tour. I would recommend you, whether you're Irish or not, I am fascinated by Irish history. You know why? Because the thesis I have always argued is division really has nothing to do with race. That's just a symptom of a deeper problem. And the deeper problem is sin. It's not the skin, it's the sin. And if you look at the way the British treated the Irish, well, you know, it'll break your heart. I mean, really, it's heartbreaking. I mean, they treated them like they were not human. That's where the first plantations were developed, to work the Irish. I mean, most historians agree that the potato famine, while the Irish didn't cause it necessarily, they certainly could have done some things to ameliorate the problem, and they didn't, because after all, it's only Irish people dying. Who cares? And these were people of all the same complexion. But the left has so convinced us that racism, that slavery, discrimination, and all that, it's all about skin color. It is not. It is about the condition of the human heart. When people first arrived to this country, Northern Italians didn't like the Southern Italians. Celtic Irish were not liked by the Scotch Irish. The Scotch Irish being Protestant, Celtic Irish being Catholics. You had all kinds of divisions among and between people. Yeah, this is a historical fact. The Italians, when they arrived, because the Irish arrived in large numbers first, when the Italians began to arrive and wanted to go to Mass, they figured out that the priests giving Mass were Irish, they wouldn't go. I'm not going to go listen to some Irish priest. They wanted Italian priests. And ultimately, the Vatican started sending Italian priests to America. So people would, I mean, and again, what the modern language now say, and these were all white people, because it has nothing to do, none of this has anything to do with skin color. It has to do with the condition of the human heart. Some of you, if you've heard me speak, you've heard me use this analogy. I've said, if God were to wave his hand over the whole earth and made all of us exactly the same complexion, gave us all exactly the same texture hair, but he left one difference. Some hazel eyes, some green eyes, some brown eyes, some blue eyes, some, what do they call that when you have two different eyes of two different colors? I forget, there's a term for it. But if he left that distinction, it would not be long before people would begin to congregate based on eye color. And you'd have the green-eyed people saying, you know, when I walked in the room, those blue-eyed people looked at me, and I know they think they're better than we are. Because that's what human beings do. We have done it all over the world. And the whole issue of differences of complexion didn't come into play until we began to travel. Because before we began to travel, of course, by ship mainly in the early days in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, before we began to travel by ship, guess what? People oppressed others who looked exactly like them demographically and ethnically. Because they didn't have anybody else to oppress. And then we began to travel. Guess what? We found other people to oppress. Do you know, have you heard this statistic? This is the truth. Do you know, there are some estimates that 90% of the Africans who were sold into the transatlantic slave trade were already in slavery in Africa. They weren't being enslaved. They were just being transferred to new slave masters. You don't hear that much, do you? Well, I've heard some liberals go, it's not that, it wasn't that many. It was only 60%. Okay, fine. Okay, 60%. But you don't hear that either. Because what you hear is the polemic. It's white people. White people are white. It's the white man. And the fact of the matter is, North African Arabs enslaved Europeans before Europeans enslaved Africans. The Barbary pirates enslaved about 1 million Europeans who they captured on the high seas and on the coasts of Europe and would bring them into slavery and sell them, put the men into martial responsibilities where they were guards and soldiers, and put the women in harems where they were sex slaves. That was long before the transatlantic slave trade started. The Ottoman Empire took African slaves into Europe and enslaved Europeans, particularly Christians, by the way, enslaved Europeans during the 700-year occupation of what was now Spain, during 700-year occupation, they introduced slavery to Europeans, enslaved, brought enslaved Africans in, and enslaved Christians and others in Europe. And these were Africans doing the enslaving. See, we've had it all wrong because they've taught us all wrong, because they wanted to keep us divided and keep us thinking, you know, it's all about skin color, it's all about race. No, it's really all about the human heart. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve here on Real Truth Today. Stand by. I want to take your calls when we come back. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Yeah, the number is 888-589-8840, and you can tell by the voice this is not Pastor Jeff, my good friend. This is E.W. Jackson. I want to take some of your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines, and we've got some time. Let me mention a couple of other things, and I'm coming right to the calls. Graham Plattner apparently is out now, or at least while he hasn't dropped out, it appears he will be dropping out because the big endorsements he got are being withdrawn as a result of a woman coming forward. This woman happens to be a Democrat, by the way. They were dismissing one woman because they said she was a Republican plant and all that. This woman's a Democrat. Said he broke into her house and forced himself on her. And she said she just doesn't want a person like that serving in high office. And she apparently is quite credible, has facts, dates, all of that, and communications with others about what happened to her at the time, you know, what we call contemporaneous communications, which demonstrate the credibility of something you're referring to back in, you know, years ago that happened. But the things you may have said to people contemporaneous with that event shows, well, it obviously really happened, because you said to your friend, you said to your brother, you said to your sister, you said to your fellow worker, hey, here's what happened to me. So apparently he may be on his way out, and then we'll see what what the Democrats do to replace him. The other thing I want to say about this sort of this anti-American mentality, this socialist Marxist plague that is trying to basically trying to take over the country. Mark Kelly went to the World Cup, but chose not to wear any patriotic, like what I'm. If you can see me, you see the wonderful patriotic shirt I'm wearing. Chose not to wear anything American. He chose to wear a Mexican jacket. Yeah. Yeah, he wanted to honor Mexico. You think, what is wrong with these people? I mean, what is wrong with them? Is this somehow a slap against President Trump? Well, President Trump loves America, and I'm going to show that I don't. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't. I do. I understand the demonic deception that they're under, but common sense ought to override that. You would think, and, well, wait a minute, this is the 250th anniversary of our country. President Trump didn't give us this. This has nothing to do with him other than he's presiding over it, but I'm honoring my country. I don't care who's president. As somebody pointed out, I forget who was president in 1976, but I know one thing, it shouldn't have mattered. Just like right now, if we had a Democrat president, I would still be celebrating the United States of America. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come to your calls. We've got Linda in Texas. Linda, welcome.
Oh, thank you, and have sure enjoyed this program, and that common sense is one of my favorite words. But I wrote down here, and this is what really hit me. E.W. Jackson, Donald Trump was to be in office for the 240th, and I wrote next to that, confirms my feeling. I have felt that, and then you said it, and I thought, I like confirmation. So I had to call, because I thought, oh my gosh, that's the first person that I've heard to say that. And, you know, yeah. I 100%. So I had a call.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Linda. Good to hear from you. And look, I'm glad you're not the only person who's felt that. But I said I really believe God spoke that to me, that He was chosen for this moment. And boy, you couldn't have a better prayer. I mean, can you imagine somebody at the 250th apologizing? Well, you know, America's not this and America's not that, and it's too bad. In other words, almost saying, I'm sorry, everybody, that we made it 250 years. I wish our country had collapsed before now, but there's still hope. You know what I mean? That's the kind of attitude I think you'd get out of some of these anti-American politicians today, but not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is celebrating the greatness of America, and we are all grateful to God for this great country and grateful that we have a president who doesn't apologize for us but celebrates it. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Rebecca in Arkansas. Rebecca, welcome.
Hey, Bishop Jackson. I love it when you're taking somebody's place or your podcast. They're great.
Thank you.
I want to call your attention in connection with George Floyd to Sandy Rios's podcast from June the 18th. It's called American Scapegoat. how a corrupt justice system, you know, muddied the waters. I don't see the rest of the title. But American Scapegoat from June 18th. There's a fella who's delved into it with all the evidence. And it turns out that the officer, I mean, George Floyd was, you know, he was on fentanyl.
Right.
He had all sorts of physical problems. And that the knee on the neck wasn't the physician said the knee on the neck was not the deciding factor in his death. With the windpipe didn't work, the aorta, there are two. So anyway, I'm bad at explaining it, but his knee did not cause the death of George Floyd. And George was just totally out of control. He had overpowered three officers already when he was handcuffed. He was...
Yeah,
and superhuman strength, it seemed.
Okay, well, listen, Rebecca, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that. You look. I know I've heard these reports, and they may be correct, but you just don't put your knee on a person's neck. That's not good policing. You just don't do that. And then and remember the shock the country had when we all watched that, and there were people standing around saying, get your foot off his neck, get your foot off his neck, get your foot off his neck. And he didn't. He just acted like it was no big deal. So, look, I have not examined the autopsy report or any of that. I think whether he actually caused George Floyd's death or not, he should have been severely punished because that was out of order, number one. But number two, as I've said, George Floyd brought this on himself. I mean, he put himself in this position. You said he was resistant. He was arguing with the police officers. And he was arrested because of the criminal activity he was engaged in. So look... George Floyd clearly was a contributing factor to all of this, but man, I don't want any police officer dealing with anybody that way. You've got to deal with people in a way that seeks to preserve their lives whenever you can. And of course, I am a big believer that police have a right to defend themselves, and if their lives are threatened, they have a right to use deadly force to take out anybody who threatens their lives. But this was not that situation. You know, you're leaning on a person's neck. That person's already, you've got your knee on a person's neck. That person's already subdued. So you don't need to maintain that kind of thing. So at any rate, he's in jail and George Floyd is dead. A tragic situation all around. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Let's go to Daryl in Texas. Daryl, welcome.
Hello, Brother Jackson. Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you ever heard or read the book, The Naked Communist? I think the man's name was Shokin. Yeah, on his 45 points of the goals of communism, they have nearly all, I believe all of them, have come into fruition. Point 15 was capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. And I thought that was very pertinent. Now, you know, you were mentioning the chaos that the communists create. I call it the communist movement the atheistic belief system, because they'll deny all day long it's a religion, but they look pretty stupid if they can't say it's a belief system, because you got to believe in evolution and you have to believe in moral relativism and a future hope and a utopia, socialist, man-made, which, of course, always becomes ruled over by a man, dictator, God. But, you know, they use chaos to break up stability, like concrete. You got to have a crowbar to bust it up so you can pour your ingredients into it. And that's, you know, so we're dealing with two competing religions, actually, that both have a common doctrine of world domination. Of course, they're going to deal with each other later, but they have this... The same way the Pharisees and Sadducees were of opposite philosophical worldviews, they joined together to kill Jesus, and these two are the elements that have come from the past, just like we Christians have, and they are working together to destroy us in the same way. It's a pattern that I noticed, you know?
Well, Darrell, you are absolutely right. I have the book. I've read the book. In fact, I've got a bookshelf near me, and I'm literally looking at the naked communist as I'm talking to you. So thank you so much for the call. And you are right. When you read that book, it's chilling, because most of what that book says was the communist agenda. Most of it has been carried out, taking over the schools, for example, and indoctrinating children with a Marxist and communist worldview. I mean, that's happened all over the country. In fact, during the Truth Tour, I talk about Howard Zinn. I was at a conference not too long ago, and I asked people how many had heard of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States of America. And I was amazed at the small number of people that had heard of it. And yet that book is the most influential history book used in our government school system ever. And it is a book that teaches people to hate America. So you are absolutely right. And that gives us pause. That's why we've got to work to get kids out of these indoctrination camps, and then change these indoctrination camps to, once again, educational institutions again, which means getting the unions out of them and getting the politics out of them and getting them focused on education again. Because if we keep producing new generations of people who think the way these leftists today think, we will ultimately lose the battle. So I'm glad you pointed it out. The Naked Communist is the book. Skousen, I think, is the person who wrote the book. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Jackie in Texas. Jackie, welcome.
Well, thank you, Brother Bishop. I was wondering if you had noticed that no one in the Muslim community celebrated the 250th. In my television used to have all these, I called it good Muslim pictures of all of the little old girls in their head wraps, and they're going to the colleges. They're all part of the American everything, but you don't see any of them celebrating America, period. And I think they're basically taking over our country due to population. That's more of just a comment. If you want to pick up there, I'd appreciate it. I'm fixing to go attend a prayer meeting. You have a blessed
All right.
Day,
well, pray for me and pray for AFR and pray for us, Jackie, and for our country. God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling. Yeah. Well, first, I don't have any way of knowing whether no Muslims celebrated the 250th. None of us does. But look, I mean, I think you are onto something in the sense that Islam is incompatible with a constitutional republic of the United States of America. It just is, folks, because Sharia law does not comport with the Judeo-Christian worldview upon which our legal system is based. And you can't have in our country people developing little enclaves of their own little Muslim fiefdoms where they're employing Sharia law, and we can't do anything about that because that's their right and all this nonsense. So look, I think you're absolutely right. There are peaceful Muslims who I believe really want to get along with America and really want to get along in America, but Islam itself is not peaceful and is incompatible with America. Okay, let's go to one more. We've got Deborah in Florida. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm part of the Daughters of America Revolution, and I wish I'd known this when I was in high school with 12 years of Catholic school. But one of the nuns did like 12 genealogy book, and I'm looking at one of them. Said the American Revolution ended religious persecution and opened fresh opportunities for the Catholics in Maryland. Was it any wonder so many of the Bormen signed the Oath of Allegiance and fought in the American Revolution?
Amen. Well, thank you for the call, Deborah. As I said many times, we've not been perfect, but I'll tell you what, that declaration in our Constitution continues to speak to the conscience of the American people, motivating us to make it a more perfect union. I mean, women only got the right to vote 100 years ago. I mean, that's kind of shocking when you think about it, but You know, why? Again, it's not skin, it's sin. It's the human heart. God bless each and every one of you. And look, just let's keep the spirit of the 250th alive and well, okay? Looking forward, if Jesus tarries, to 250 more, although I don't think he'll tarry that long. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson and for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Been a pleasure to be with you. You all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.